Live, on air, online, and on the Highland Radio app. This is Highland Radio News.
Good evening, it's Donna Marie Doherty with the news at 5 o'clock. Coming up in this bulletin, the redress focus groups have announced that they are disbanding. A workshop was hosted in Ulster University to examine the response in the defective concrete block crisis in Quebec versus in the Donegal Derry region. The victim of a fatal crash in Elestrin on Friday has been named as 22-year-old Leila Hussein Ali. And delays in the implementation of governance mechanisms in TUSLA services in Donegal, Sligo, Leitrim and West Cavan have been identified. These stories in full plus more to follow. Oisin Kelly will be live with all the latest in sport. That's coming up around 5:15. First in news, the redress focus groups are disbanding. The campaign group released a statement on Saturday saying that due to the lack of resources, support or assistance, they would not be able to keep the initiative to its current level. Roisin Gallagher, founder of the groups, added that it's hoped it will only be a temporary pause.
Coming to the decision to close down redress focus groups was very, very difficult. You know, we are all homeowners, so it was also very emotional for us. We were left with no choice really in the end, and it's because without the financial assistance and the human resources required to run an operation or an organisation at the level that it was being run was just not sustainable. We couldn't keep it going the way we needed to do it. You know, we've proved with redress focus groups that working together and coming together and collaborating together is how we will move forward in this crisis, and it is how we're going to get out of it. And without that support from many different angles, from government, council, organisations, groups, we are going to be facing a more difficult challenge throughout the county. The volunteers within redress focus groups, the organisers, founders, the committee, we can all hold our heads up high. We've done an amazing job and achieved so much in such a short space of time. So, you know, we can be proud and hold our heads up. If things change and the support that we need comes forward and we can get the help that we need, then we can maybe think about going forward again. And we'll be ready if that opportunity comes along. But until that, unfortunately, we've come to the end of the road.
Meanwhile, a workshop was hosted in Ulster University to examine the difference in the response to the defective concrete crisis in Quebec and the Donegal Derry region. It was hosted by Dr. Eileen Doherty and Professor Paul Dunlop, who visited Canada last September. Dr. Doherty detailed the stark difference in a homeowner in Canada versus a homeowner in Ireland.
It was a fantastic workshop. The purpose of the workshop was to examine the situation in Canada and to really open a wider discussion amongst the key stakeholders as to how effective the scheme that they have rolled out in Canada has been. A good example of that, for example, is that one of the representatives from Canada who themselves is affected by defective concrete told the story to the group about how he found that he had defective concrete in his home, let's say in August, and by September of the same year the remediation work started in his home. So that's a very good example that we wanted to bring back from our trip in September when we went over to Canada to the group to really try to examine how they have made such a success of the scheme, and the opposite has happened here.
Professor Michel Pigeon attended in person. He's a former Chancellor of the Laval University and former elected member of the Canadian Parliament. What was his reaction to how things are being done here?
His reaction is to see that there's a massive disparity, and he's quite surprised and shocked at how, I suppose, the treatment of the victims here. One of the comments that were made by one of the participants on the day was that we as victims are being further treated as if we are trying to scam the system. And I think all of us who've been through the defective block scheme would agree that we are all almost assumed that we are trying to get one over on the government.
The victim of a fatal crash at Elestrin on Friday has been named as 22-year-old Leila Hussein Ali. She was pronounced dead at the scene after being hit by a car at around 7 p.m. Inspector Seamus McGonigal has renewed an appeal for information.
On Friday evening, there was a fatal road traffic collision on the N56 at Elestrin. That's the main road between Letterkenny and Kilmacrenan, a very busy road. This happened around 7 p.m. involved a car and a pedestrian. We're appealing for witnesses to this collision to come forward. People who may have CCTV in house in private houses or businesses along the route, or indeed people who may have been driving and would have dash cam footage. Quite a number of people have already come forward and provided great assistance to us. And we'd just like to appeal, if there's anybody else out there, which we believe there are, who could be of assistance, to contact us. Again, Milford Garda Station is dealing with the matter. 074 915 3060, and the Garda confidential line at 1-800-666-111. Sadly, a 22-year-old female, Leila Hussain Ali, lost her life in this incident. Leila was a Somali national residing in Ireland since March 2023. Her family, she'd relatives in the UK, they've been notified, and they're actually here in Letterkenny at the moment. And we're giving them, again, there's been a family liaison officer appointed by the Gardaí, and we're giving them what assistance we can.
Delays in the implementation of governance mechanisms in TUSLA services in counties Donegal, Sligo, Leitrim and West Cavan have been identified. A HICWA inspection was carried out in August last year, focusing on the implementation of the Child and Family Agency's Child Abuse Substantiation Procedure, which came into operation on June 27, 2022. Michaela Clark reports.
HICWA found that overall assessments were not completed in line with timeframes set out in TUSLA's own procedures. No child abuse substantiation procedure was concluded within the 14 months since its commencement. HICWA says the procedure overall was not efficient and not person-centred. Inspectors say children were not always at the centre of the implementation of CASP due to delays in Garda vetting notifications, delays in communication with children and families, delays in identifying children who had contact with alleged abusers due to cases awaiting allocation at preliminary inquiry stage, that it was not consistently evident on files if a child was safe and protected, safeguarding information on identified children referred to Child Protection and Welfare Services was on the child's CPW file rather than CASP file, and there was no national guidance on how to identify and respond to suspected organisational or institutional abuse, especially vulnerable children.
TUSLA have since released a statement and say that improvements have been put in place to address concerns. The area has been agreed a compliance plan with HICWA to ensure deficiencies noted in the report are rectified as soon as possible. The report in full and the statement from TUSLA can be found on our website, highlandradio.com. Donegal Deputy Piers Doherty hopes a general election takes place this year. Yesterday, Ireland's Thanks Sunday independent opinion poll revealed that support for Sinn Féin is up to 30%, while support for Fine Gael is dropped to 20% and backing for Fianna Fáil is down to 17%. Deputy Doherty told today's 9 till noon show that he believes the appetite for change is there.
When we fought the last election, we took 23% of the vote. Like, a lot of the commentators, a lot of the establishment, you know, were saying, ah, this is a protest vote, this is an angry vote and all the rest. And, you know, it'll dissipate and, you know, we'll have local, you know, we'll have other, it'll go away and all the rest. 4 years later, actually, that vote has grown. That vote has increased, you know, to what we see in the polls at the weekend, 30%. Other polls had them higher in last year. So, like, and look, we're out about our community. Like, the, you know, the most common thing that somebody says to me is, when are you getting them out? They want this government gone. And like, that is an anger, that is an anger at the government. There is I feel a sense, and it's not everybody, there's people in this county that vote Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael, and they're absolutely entitled to do so, and they believe that they have their best interests at heart, and that's fine, and there's good people in all of those parties. But I see people who are seeing their kids feel that they have no future here, and they're away to Australia. Like, you know, what was Christmas like? People coming back from Australia and all the rest, but they're gone again. Oh, all God. Our young people, it's heartbreaking in our communities. Look at what's happened in our hospitals. Look at the fact that the levels of homelessness, like a national scandal, and it just nearly passes by. Now, 4,000 children, over 4,000 children now in emergency accommodation during Christmas. That is absolutely appalling, and I think that's why people think those, they've had their time. Fine Gael's been there for 13 years. Fianna Fáil supported this government for the last 8 years. You know, their time's up. And I think that there will be a huge weight of responsibility if we are in a position to form the next government to actually make sure that we deliver the change that we believe that we can bring about.
The Irish Nurses and Midwives Organisation says it's seeing overcrowding challenges in each part of the country. 626 people are waiting beds in hospitals nationwide today, with RSV, COVID and influenza infections expected to peak this week and next. 39 are waiting on a trolley at Letterkenny University Hospital. The INMO says the HSC and individual hospital groups must introduce immediate de-escalation measures in some of the worst affected areas. The leader of the DUP says his party discussions with the British government will recommence this week. Geoffrey Donaldson says its goal throughout this process has been to restore Northern Ireland's place within the UK internal market. Stormont institutions have been suspended for almost 2 years because of a DUP boycott in protest at post-Brexit trading arrangements. Mr Donaldson says that Northern Ireland should never have been subjected to arrangements that not one unionist LMA supported. Donegal County Council and Letterkenny-based Airnact Network are co-designing a community-based virtual power plant with another four communities in Northern Europe. The project commenced in June 2023, with the first steps to develop a viable business model completed. Once operational, the plant will connect, analyse and communicate real-time energy data from various sources, including weather forecasts. The benefits of being involved in this project include savings, security, clean energy use and income. The Ryan Co-Power project leader says communities who suffer from blackouts will benefit.
The aim of the Co-Power project, which is funded by the Northern Periphery and Arctic Programme, is to develop a community-based virtual power plant and a viable business model to support five communities, and these are our project partners. So these communities are in Finland, Iceland, Ireland, specifically Donegal and the Faroe Islands.
That'll bring an array of benefits to Donegal.
Yeah, absolutely. So the main benefits that we see of the virtual power plant will be savings, security, potential income and clean energy use for communities. An important part to remember is that this project is funded by the NPA, the Northern Periphery and Arctic Programme, and they support rural and Arctic regions in the EU. So communities who suffer from blackouts will particularly benefit from this. The model itself will demonstrate how communities can support their own energy needs through a system of collective power that increases participation and control in local communities. So it will raise awareness of how consumers and producers can work together to generate their own local energy requirements. So we're at an early stage of this project and its development. We started working on it together last summer, and the community-based virtual power plant will be implemented by 2026. The budget is just under 1.5 million, and off this we'll be bringing just over half a million to the county to achieve this.
The time is 12 minutes past five. Oisin Kelly back after the break with all the latest in sport. It's 5:15. Oisin Kelly has all the latest in sport.
Thanks, Donna Marie. We start with football. German football icon Franz Beckenbauer has died at the age of 78. He was one of only three men to play in and manage World Cup winning sides. Beckenbauer captained West Germany to victory on home soil in 1974 and then managed the team that beat Argentina in the 1990 final. He also won three consecutive European Cups with Bayern Munich in the mid-70s. Timo Werner is poised to join Tottenham in an initial loan deal. The RB Leipzig forward is reportedly travelling to London for a medical. Werner has scored just twice in 14 games for Leipzig this season, but Spurs require cover for the Asian Cup-bound Song Heung-min. Manchester United manager Erik ten Hag says his team need to be well prepared for tonight's FA Cup clash with Wigan Athletic. The hosts are currently in the bottom half of the League One table. Ten Hag says, however, his side will need to perform to get a result at the DW Stadium.
It's do or die, so I like it. But you know, we have had this situation before the season, and we have to be ready for the game. You will face an opponent who is 100% and will be even more 100%. Every opponent is going more than 100% against Manchester United.
Kick-off to that game is at 8:15 with the draw for the fourth round set to take place beforehand. Tony Mowbray has been appointed as Birmingham's new manager. The former Blackburn, West Brom and Celtic boss succeeds Wayne Rooney, who was sacked by the Championship club last week after just 83 days in charge. Mowbray has signed a 2.5-year contract and takes over a side which is fifth from bottom in the table. Donegal Athletics legend Danny McDade will launch the 2023 Donegal Sports Star Awards this evening. The launch will take place in the Mount Errigal Hotel in Letterkenny. And as part of the event, the winners of 1983 will be honoured to mark the 40th anniversary of their successes. There will be 17 winners in eight. There were 17 winners in 83, with the overall honour going to Dunloe man Vincent Bonner, who also picked up the motorsport category for his Donegal Rally 1 alongside Seamus McGettigan. The event gets underway shortly at 6 o'clock. In Gaelic Games, Donegal's punishment for playing an underage player in the win over Armagh in last week's Dr. McKenna Cup is expected to be known this evening. Niamh Connell cornerback Finbar Rorty was 17 at the time of the game last Wednesday, and he only turned 18 the day after the 16-point victory. The Ulster Council could take the points off Donegal, where they could also hand suspensions to Rorty, manager Jim McGuinness, and possibly a county board official. Donegal are expected to appeal any sanctions if they are handed out by Ulster. In rugby, Mac Hansen and Jimmy O'Brien will both miss Ireland's Six Nations campaign. Hansen underwent surgery today on the shoulder he dislocated in Connacht's New Year's Day win over Munster, while O'Brien has been sidelined with a neck injury, which Leinster say will keep him out for a number of months. And finally in snooker, Ronnie O'Sullivan is through to the Masters quarterfinals following a 6-3 victory over Ding Zhiwei. In the other half of the draw this evening, Mark Williams goes up against Ali Carter. And that's your sport for today. Donna Marie.
Thanks, Oisin. Letterkenny has been deemed to be clean to European norms, ranking 17th in the latest eyeball survey. According to the latest Irish Business Against Litter report, there was no seriously littered sites in the town, but there were a few clean sites than previously. Top ranking sites include Upper Main Street Letterkenny Retail Park and Ranmore Court. The moderately littered sites included Letterkenny Bus Depot. Eyeball spokesperson Conor Horgan says the town has improved drastically from where it was a number of years previous.
Indeed, it's another good performance from Letterkenny. There'll be some disappointment maybe that the town didn't finish inside the top 10 as it did last time out. But 17th and clean to European norms is a very good position for a town which, let's face it, some years ago did struggle on the litter front. The Ontashka surveyors talked of it having fewer cleaner sites than previously. That was the reason for the slight decline. But positively, there were no seriously littered sites. The Upper Main Street was particularly well presented with lovely planter boxes, wooden seating, paving, etc. It was deserving of the top litter grade. And other top-ranking sites included the Letterkenny Retail Park, the residential area of Ranmore Court. The moderately littered sites included Letterkenny Bus Depot, which is disappointing, of course.
And of the issues raised, these can all be easily fixed. It was in regards to food wrappers lying about. So the point now is to maybe put more bins in place or to encourage people to dispose of the rubbish responsibly.
Yes, I think when it comes to seriously littered sites, we tend to look to the local authority to fix them, to clean them up. But when a site is moderately littered, I think it really is up to the people just to be a little more mindful in, as you say, not dropping the sweet wrapper or the plastic cup or whatever. Because with just a little bit of care, a moderately littered site can quickly become a clean one.
It'll be very cold tonight with a national low temperature warning due to come into effect. It will run from 9 p.m. until 10 a.m. tomorrow, while a weather advisory for cold conditions run until Friday. Deirdre Lowe, forecaster with Met Éireann, outlines what to expect from tonight.
It's going to turn very cold overnight. Temperatures are going to plummet down as low as -5 degrees. There'll be a widespread sharp to severe frost with icy conditions on roads and pavements. There will be some mist and fog pockets about too, but not as widespread as they were last night or the previous night.
And with that, all of the Donegal gritting routes are being treated. Donegal County Council are urging drivers to assume no road is ice-free. The complete list of routes is available on our website, highlandradio.com. Donegal County Council is continuing to work to tackle vacancy and dereliction throughout the county. Efforts are ongoing to identify vacant properties and their owners in a bid to bring them back into use. Cleann O'Dwyer has more.
Following on from the ongoing work of tackling vacancy and dereliction throughout the county, the regeneration team at Donegal County Council have committed to continue to identify properties and their owners to make them aware of the various supports available to bring existing properties back into use. Supports include the Vacant Property Refurbishment Grant Scheme, which provides grants of up to €84,000 to refurbish vacant and derelict properties that have been vacant for 2 years or more if it's the owner's principal private residence or made available to rent. Financial support is also being provided through the Repair and Release Scheme. €80,000 per unit is available to bring vacant properties back into use to lease to the council for social housing in areas where there is a need.
It's understood foreshore licences to allow works totalling over €7 million to be carried out at piers in Donegal have been signed. The monies collected for Burton Port, Bunbeg, Glengad and Rathmullen were on hold, awaiting the approval of the foreshore licences. The projects were due to commence before a deadline of November 2023 to ensure funding could be drawn down. Councillor Micheál Colm McGilla-Asbuck is now calling on guarantees to be given by Marine Minister Charlie McConnellogue.
There's been a huge amount of time, energy invested by Cóir Do Chumbag an Ingall, the marine section, into these projects alongside the local communities. And prior to 2024, we were asking for clarification on the foreshore to be given the go-ahead. It looks like now that we're nearly there. My understanding is that it's been signed and we're just waiting for the final stamp to be given. But the concern now is that the monies that was granted last year for these projects here are hugely important in Glan na Gadaí, agus a Hualan, a Fáasta, Erwanvag, agus Altacharan.
These works are vital for the local communities and to continue developing these areas also.
Yes, absolutely. And like I says, we'd be asking the Minister to come out and to clarify, do we still have this money? So what value is them foreshores to us unless we have the money to go forward? We've invested a huge amount of time and energy, as I said, into trying to get these projects to where they are. The community depends on it. We need to know we have this money so we can continue to develop the likes of Altacharan and Onewick and other piers. What we need to hear this week from the Minister is that the monies that was granted in 2023, which is close to €7 to 8 million, is still there. Otherwise, your foreshore licence is nothing but a dead piece of paper.
Look now to the weather forecast. Mainly dry with highs of 2 to 5 degrees in light to moderate easterly breezes. Tonight will be very cold and dry with a widespread sharp frost and icy patches. Lowest temperatures of 0 to minus 4 degrees with light easterly breezes. Tomorrow morning, frost and ice patches will gradually clear. It'll be mainly dry with brighter sunny spells. Highest temperatures of 3 to 5 degrees. To conclude this evening's news, the Redress focus groups have announced that they are disbanding. A workshop was hosted in Ulster University to examine the difference in the response to the defective concrete crisis in Quebec and in the Donegal Derry region. The victim of a fatal crash in a Listeran on Friday has been named as 22-year-old Leila Hussain Ali, and delays in the implementation of governance mechanisms in TUSLA services in Donegal, Sligo, Leitrim and West Cavan have been identified. That's all for now from Highland Radio News. Back again at 6 o'clock. Till then, good evening. The obituary notices this Monday evening, January 8th. The death has taken place of Marie McCafferty, née McMenamin. Funeral leaving her home, 14 Oakfield Road, on Wednesday at 9:20 a.m. to St Eugene's Cathedral for Requiem Mass at 10 a.m. Interment afterwards in the city cemetery. House private, please, today and wake tomorrow from 4 o'clock until 10 p.m. The death has taken place of Evelyn Shields, Cross Quigley's Point. Evelyn's remains will leave the Eternal Light Chapel of Rest at Mountaintop Letterkenny this evening at 8 p.m. going to her home. Funeral arrangements to be confirmed later. The death has taken place of Anthony McHenry, Glen Givney, Lakamy, Moville. Anthony's remains will repose at Liam Collins' funeral home, Station Road, Carndonagh, this evening from 7 p.m. until 9 p.m. where you're welcome to pay your respects. Anthony's remains will leave Liam Collins' funeral home tomorrow at 6:15 p.m. to arrive in St. Columbus Church, Ballinacrae, at 7 p.m. to repose overnight. Funeral mass will take place on Wednesday at 11 a.m. followed by burial in the adjoining graveyard. Family flowers only. Donations, if desired, to Carndonagh Community Hospital Patients Comfort Fund. The death has taken place of Mary Kilday, Coal Hill, Newton Cunningham. Remains reposing at her late residence. Funeral from there on Wednesday morning, going to All Saints Church, Newton Cunningham, for Requiem Mass at 11 a.m, followed by interment in the adjoining graveyard. Funeral Mass can be viewed on churchservices.tv. Family time from 9 p.m. to 11 a.m. and on the morning of the funeral. Family flowers only. Donations, if desired, to the Donegal Hospice or Pieta House, care of any family member or Charlie McClafferty, funeral director.
The death has taken place of Ethel Scott, 23 Oak Park Convoy. Her remains are reposing at her late residence. Funeral leaving from there on Wednesday afternoon at 1:30 for 2 p.m. funeral service in Convoy Presbyterian Church, followed by burial in the family plot in the adjoining graveyard. Family time, please, from 10 p.m. to 11 a.m. and on the morning of the funeral. Family flowers only. Donations in lieu, if desired, to the Patient's Comfort Fund, Brindley Manor Nursing Home, care of Terence McClintock, Funeral Director. The death has taken place of Kevin Kelly, Isleview House, Rosemount, Letterkenny, formerly Lower Main Street. Kevin's remains will be reposing at his son Adrian's residence, the Glebe Gallery, Garton, Churchill, from 7 p.m. this evening. Funeral from there on Wednesday, going to St. Eunan's Cathedral for Requiem Mass at 11 a.m, followed by interment in Lex Cemetery. Funeral Mass can be viewed on churchservices.tv. Family time, please, from 10 p.m. to 12 p.m. and on the morning of the funeral. For family information and more details regarding wakes and funerals, please go to highlandradio.com.